Men's mental health has become a more talked about issue recently. In an attempt to break down barriers surrounding this topic, Robbie Bird has spent the last 2 years setting up MenTalk. MenTalk is a two-day festival being held at The Exchange in Twickenham. It's taking place from Friday the 24th to Saturday the 25th of October. The festival will host talks, debates, comedy and performances exploring issues that men and boys are grappling with in today's world. The event is sponsored by Ibiza Calm, a rehab clinic in Spain. It's run by John McCohen, who also joined us in this interview. Content warning. This interview features frank discussions surrounding mental health and some adult topics as well. So I've been speaking with lots of different men leading up to the festival. Been talking about, any anxieties that some people might feel about talking with their friends about their own mental health issues. Have you guys ever dealt with any of that yourself?
Yeah, I think most of the therapists I know. So I'm a counsellor, but I'm also a psychotherapist and been working in the field since 1987. But my journey was through therapy and self-help. And as a youngster, I used to blame my environment a lot more than I do now, but sort of growing up in what I used to call Thatcher's Britain in the 80s on a council estate where there was high homelessness and joblessness, mainly joblessness actually at the time, led to, you know, an influx of drugs into the community, and there were more pubs on the estate than there were churches. And obviously working class men back then, that's what they did, that's what we did. Is the men talk of that day was the pub. I think, you know, we've moved so far away from that. But yeah, just to touch back on my stuff, unfortunately, I never really got out of the blocks as a teenager. I was using a lot of drugs and drinking, even when I was at school. And luckily, and we may touch on this a bit later, I found the counsellor who was just right for me, who was my role model, who was my saviour, if you like. And that inspired me to train later on when I got my act together. I actually moved to London to sort of try and start a new life, if you like.
And myself, I've had struggles with depression and addiction, and I've been hugely helped by support from other people who've had those experiences too. Friendship with people who understand what it's like, that's been very important. I was an athlete, I was a dancer, and my career came to an end abruptly because of an injury. It was a disaster for me, but I didn't know how to help myself or who to talk to about my feelings. Trust is a big problem with men, and we're frightened of looking weak. But now I'm just determined to exercise every day, to meet up with my friends, to talk about my feelings as much as I can, and to involve myself in new challenges. With Men Talk, I suppose that, we want it to be a festival for ordinary men. We've got a lot to discuss. Some issues are very serious, but it's doesn't have to be, not everything has to be so heavy. There's going to be time for fun and relaxation in the festival as well.
Yeah, that's a nice thing. So from what I understand, when you look at like online, people talk about men will talk to each other and like have conversations at a pub or something, but may not ask about what their spouses are doing or what are like the positive things that are going on in their life. And it kind of sticks to like sports or something more practical. And so having like a space to talk about feelings in a positive way is kind of like a positive thing that it sounds like the festival would be bringing. Like, is this the first year that MenTalk has been as a festival? And how has it been bringing that together?
It's been the culmination of 2 years' work, actually. I've been trying to get this event on at The Exchange for quite some time, and it eventually it all just came together. Like, we were given a day and then just ended up being able to put it on.
I could say a few things on that too, because Robbie and I first met in 2018 at a men's workshop, which was a leftover from, there was a Being a Man festival at the South Bank Centre many years ago. It was a collection of men from different backgrounds, different races, just telling their stories really to an audience. It had a really big effect. And we've stayed in touch ever since. And I think Robbie's probably doesn't want to blow his own trumpet, but when he got the job at the Exchange, I think he saw an opportunity. And obviously, like most, I'd like to think anyway, most places where there's community, they're trying to champion mental health and get it on the menu. And Robbie, I think, talked to his directors and talked to me and said, how about we put something on? Let's keep talking about it. And we knocked around a lot of topics and got the speakers we have now. I felt a little bit like Bob Geldof, a very mini version of Bob Geldof, you know, calling friends going, you've got to come, you've got to put your money where your mouth is. You know, you talk to me about it, but so we've been doing a lot of that. And of course the cliche is that we don't talk, we don't gather. And of course really what we're trying to do is give men permission to come. And that's going to be mirrored by the panel talking about their experiences, not teaching, not lecturing, but just talking about their journeys through various mental health issues and addiction issues in a way that it becomes hopefully a permission-giving environment for people who are there. And we're fortunate that we've had access to therapists and some groups. But a lot of people, as we know, haven't had that and don't have it.
Something which I quite like about the festival is that it's in person. And I know one of the topics that is going to be discussed there is the kind of changing social landscape that we all live in now, where for most, I'm going to assume for all three of us, like when we were growing up, a lot of our life was person to person. But for a lot of the younger men out there, it's becoming more and more online. And
I'm sure we're all aware of Andrew Tate and the pretty horrible world that exists out there involving him and the aggression and the dark ideas that he's kind of spreading. Yeah, I think it's really scary and dangerous. Like, thankfully, most men and boys are not interested in being part of that, but there's a route for people to radicalize themselves quite easily. And also, like, the bracket of men's mental health or men's issues is being taken over by far right-wing influencers who essentially just bully their audiences into places of extremism. So yeah, we would certainly like to not be doing that mental.
No, it's a nice thing of like being in person. I'll share a bit of myself. Part of the reason why I care so much about men's mental health is that about 9 years ago, I had an episode of psychosis, which left me, maybe even longer. It's something which I feel like maybe I have recovery forever on it, if you understand. But leading up to that psychosis, a friend of mine who has schizophrenia, he posted something on his Facebook saying, hey, I have this. I want to take away some of the stigma from talking about it. If anyone has any issues, please reach out to me. And so when I had my crisis, I went to him, and he was someone I met in real life. And so the fact that we have a real space, and when you're online, even if you're interacting with people, you're still kind of in your own headspace. But when you're in actual presence of people, you can see that some of those thoughts that you have may be challenged. Yeah, I just thought I'd share, since it seems like it's kind of in the idea of what the entire project's meant to be about. But yeah, did you guys have any times in your life when you've reached out to friends or family that have like helped you in that way?
Yeah, I think just talking for myself and obviously a lot of the people I've been around and worked with over the years, it's I've given you a little picture of my background. Men didn't talk to each other on an emotional level, and we know they still don't. You know, a friend of mine's father died 2 years ago now, and they did an MRI and just before he died, sorry, and he'd had, they reckon, 9 small heart attacks, not enough to admit him, but he kind of, because apparently the heart keeps the score apparently. Anyway, it's just one example of he wouldn't go to the doctors. You know, he'd had this pain, he was getting these attacks. And he was just from that background where it was like, I don't go to the doctors, I will be all right. And so the idea of, you know, again, creating spaces for men to come and talk about any stuff really, is going to be a huge help. And you know, I tried with my father, and again, I'm not blaming him, but you know, he didn't have the equipment really. He, I'll tell you what happened to me, and again, I think I've shared this with Robbie. When I was at school, the Samaritans came in. Well, one man came in, and there was just something about him that I kind of trusted and liked. I don't know what it was really. He kind of talked from the heart, and he was talking about obviously issues, and I assume they must have talked about even suicide. And I remember I was sort of at the back of the class or the back of the hall, and I was thinking, I've got to speak to this guy. He kind of, you know, and unfortunately he left, and there wasn't a lot of information that I could get in contact with him. And that's something else we're putting right, of course, is for people who are there, if they get triggered, then they'll have phone numbers, they'll have leaflets, they mightn't do it on the day, but hopefully they'll find the resources to reach out, if that makes sense. So I've gone off on a tangent a little bit there, but this again, what we're trying to do is creating a safe, and as Robbie said, some of it's going to be fun, warm environment.
Yeah, we'll be asking men to look at how to have good mental health, how to avoid self-harm and substance and alcohol abuse. We'll be looking at strategies for dealing with depression and isolation, and we'll be asking men to think about how they challenge themselves in a good way.
And just to add, sorry, the social media thing is huge, we know. I mean, I was lucky to be at Sir Gareth Southgate's Dimbleby lecture a few months ago. And I went along as a friend, as a guest of a friend, and I expected him to be talking about football for the hour, you know, missed penalties and all that. And actually, he probably talked about that stuff for 10 minutes. The rest of it was about young men he'd worked with in the culture and social media and the bad influences, and how really it's urgent now to try and reach young men and to give them alternatives to that world, and to try and get them out of their bedroom, if you like, into spaces where they can talk and be present. And of course, the adolescence program that we were all affected by and so brilliantly made, all again, you know, revolving around social media and young boys. And that's going to be a big topic.
Yeah, so the show Adolescence is obviously still on everyone's mind after it came out. When you're planning it and then the show came out, did you think, oh, this is great because it's going to help us reach a wider audience because more people are speaking about the subject again?
No, they were linked. It was definitely an impetus to get the project off the ground quicker to try and hit that zeitgeist moment. But on the other hand, I suppose men's mental health is always an issue, isn't it? It doesn't have to be necessarily linked to a particular Netflix program at any given time. Yeah. So just a little bit about the event. The one that it's over 2 days. So on the Friday the 24th, we have Bringing Up Boys, which is a armchair conversation with Billy Bragg, Laura Bates, and Nihal Arthaniake, and that's going to be chaired by Nick Isles, who runs something called the Institute of Boys and Men. And then on the Saturday, the 25th, at the Exchange Theatre in Twickenham, which is just opposite the station, you can't miss it, it's a big building. We have the event that John and I are mainly talking about now, called the Men Talk Festival Day, and that's a men only event, and that's from 10 till 5 on the 25th of October. Tickets are available online at the Exchange website. And we've got lots of exciting guests. Kent Bray, who is an ex-rugby player and is now a mental health professional and mentor. We've got a few actors. We've got Patterson Joseph, and we've got David Westhead. We've got some great psychotherapists such as yourself, John, Ivor McKay, and Stephen Fatuga. Who else have we got? We've got Nick Love, the director of the Football Factory, I think it's really exciting that he's going to be there. He's going to lead a discussion on men and violence and aggression and other things. And yeah, just I'm certain that it's just going to be a very exciting, interesting, thought-provoking day for everyone involved. And the really unusual and amazing part of this is that it's a men-only event. And yeah, I think it's quite rare for that to happen.
Yeah, it is quite rare. I was quite surprised when I saw it, but also very happy. Because sometimes, again, I've been speaking with various different men in lead-up for one of my stories, and some men feel very comfortable speaking about themselves, but other ones can find it a bit more difficult. So having a kind of a place where it's said, oh, no, it's fine, it's a bit calmer, you aren't going to be judged, it's nice to have that.
Yeah, I think it was really important that we decided that, because, you know, we are, you know, there's a workshop on sex, and we're going to touch on porn and the world of pornography these days for men, and I think it just does help, whether you're, you know, sort of whatever you're, however you recognize or identify, is to have a kind of that male-only environment. I think it does make it easier for some men to share stuff, and again, it's about just creating the I keep saying it, but the sort of safe environment that we can kind of, yeah, I think it's kind of, again, it's funny, I was thinking about this is probably, again, forgive me for going off on a tangent, but, you know, the days of the male only golf club and the day of the male only drinkers club and the gentleman's club and all that, of course they've all gone, and I can see why they were sort of frowned upon, you know, but the kind of essence of a male only space is important, you know, and it's not about being in competition with women or female spaces. They're amazing, and they're developing more and more. So I think just to have, you know, male only events, spaces is got to be a positive.
Like building a fraternity of sorts.
It kind of, I mean, you know, depends on which film you watch, but no, but I think that's right. I think, you know, again, in there's a whole thing on fathers, of course, and single parents and a lack of male role models. And what we want to do is have guys up there, like the guys Robbie have mentioned, and everyone's giving their free time, by the way. Mm. You know, everyone's volunteering to do this. And it's to create sometimes the role models people don't have. It's a bit like that Samaritan guy I saw. You know, I thought, yeah, I like this guy. I want to talk to him. So if we can create that, we will create that, then we can get away from hopefully some of those bad actors, as they're called, on through social media.
Mm. And I should mention that the day is going to be topped off with a performance from Marcus Brigstock. He's performing his show, The Vitruvian Mango, to round it all up with a lighter touch. And I'm sure that's going to be hilarious.
Fantastic. Like I said, I am looking forward to it. It's going to be a nice 2 days. So I understand that IbizaCom is supporting the event, and which is a rehab center in Spain, correct?
Yeah. Well, interestingly, we're celebrating 10 years this month. So I worked in many different environments. As I say, I trained when I was in my early 20s as a therapist, and worked in a lot of institutions. I worked in prisons for 6 years, and we created drug-free wings in some of the prisons, and then I worked at the Priory for 6 years as well. So it's a long story. It's too long for this interview, but a friend of mine who lives on Ibiza said, look, there's nothing on the island, you know, there's no support here. Would you help us kind of create something? And it wasn't really the idea to create a proper rehab with doctors and nurses and psychologists. But it quite quickly became that when we started doing some research and talking to locals and talking to people from Ibiza and the Ibithinkans themselves, it was crying out for a clinic. And we made it our business, to myself and a guy called Stephen Clark. And it went from sort of 6 beds to 8 beds, to 10 beds, and it's 12 beds now. And it is predominantly private, because the NHS equivalent doesn't really exist over there. They're still not really, even though it's suffered a lot in England, the idea of getting a free place and rehab is quite hard to achieve these days. But we do bursaries, and we do give free places sometimes. So obviously it's a mixture of people having to pay and people who can't afford to pay. But it's a comprehensive clinic. It's got, you know, group therapy, one-to-ones, counselling, psychology. And because it's Ibiza, we do a lot of work outside. So we have a lot of fitness. We have a lot of yoga. The complementary stuff people talk about, we do because of the blue skies. So it's a really, you know, I'm biased, but it's a fantastic place. And it's in a quiet part of the island, because people don't always understand that rehab and Ibiza should exist in the same sentence. And it's much needed, not just for locals, but also, of course, people wanting to get out of the UK. And, you know, I've spoken to our team and said, look, we're going to put money into this Mentalk event, because it's something we believe in. It's something the directors believe in. And, you know, events like this need money. You know, they can't run on their own. So Ibiza Calm decided to sponsor. And we've bought some tickets, and we're going to be giving some free tickets and bursaries out to people who aren't able to afford it. We won't be doing any group therapy as such, but there may be some things that we take from the idea, from the model of that kind of environment, to create the safety, because obviously rehabs have got to be a safe environment. But we're trying to get the balance, like Robbie said. I don't want to scare people off, you know, that they're going to walk into kind of some group therapy situation. It's not going to be like that. But nonetheless, it's not going to be fluffy talk, chatting all day about football or whatever your sport is, rugby or strictly whatever people are into. It's going to be about
shaving.
The real issues. About shaving, did you say?
I know you guys kind of touched on it earlier, but can you tell me a bit about how you both met? Because I know you mentioned you met at like some meeting or group thing, but I'd love to hear the actual story.
Well, John, do you want to talk about the event?
Yeah, well, the event came, as I say, out of what was an organization. It was a collective called Being a Man, which was created on the back of WOW, which is Women of the World. And it's an amazing, WOW was just taken off. I mean, that's another thing Robbie and I have talked about. WOW is really is WOW. The people who run it, fantastic. I've got to give her a shout, one called Jude Kelly and others, really kind of, you know, have taken this to another level. And, you know, he's taken it into Afghanistan and India and Pakistan, where a lot of, you know, women are suppressed and repressed. And that was an inspiration for us to you know, so we put this event on at St. Barnabas in Soho, and it was packed. And I saw this blonde lad sitting in the audience, and called Robbie, and we got on like a house on fire. And we've remained in touch ever since, done a few of the little functions along the way. And, you know, I was delighted when Robbie called and said, look, how about we put something on and try and create something special and see where it goes. It may be a one-off. You never know. It might get rolled out. It might become a thing. There's no egos involved to do that. We're all fairly realistic. But we know there's a need. So, sorry, that's how we met. I don't know what Robbie wants to say about that.
Yeah, I've just been a big admirer of John's work ever since I met him, really. And it's great to be able to collaborate on this event. Just so happened that me working at this theatre is just like the perfect venue for this type of event.
Amazing. Is there anything in particular you guys want to touch on before we finish today?
I would just like to remind everyone to come to Mentalk on the 25th of October between the hours of 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the Exchange Theatre in Twickenham. You can buy your tickets online at the Exchange website. This is a men-only event, but it's going to be potentially life-changing. It's going to be great.
Well, thank you guys so much for your time. I do really appreciate it.